they're not really made to last very long. Now, granted, these big box stores, I'm not going to mention any names here, but we all know who they are, or it is. They are there to sell you as much as they possibly can and hopefully sell you more of it when you lose it, break it, can't use it anymore, whatever it is. And the bicycles that they're selling in these stores, and buyer beware on the internet too, be very, very careful about what you purchase on the internet. These are not designed to last very long. And the problem is that, yeah, it's a bicycle, so how much could go wrong with it? Well, a fair amount can go wrong with it. And if you walk into your LBS, local bike shop, and you have this item which you purchased elsewhere, and you walk in with it, and they take a look at it, and they go, you know, I can fix it, but what we really need to do is we need to replace the wheels, we need to replace the fork, we need, you know, they're very expensive items, and oftentimes they'll be more expensive than you actually paid for the bicycle in the first place. So buyer beware. Cheap bicycles from low bidder Asian manufacturers sold at big box stores or on the internet are a really, really bad idea. Now let's add on to this. Many times these are bicycles that are purchased for children because parents are looking to buy something for their child to get them enthused about riding a bike. And, you know, my big tip of the bicycle talk hat for this one, because, you know, that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. You're getting your kids active. You're getting them out riding a bicycle. Great idea. Unfortunately, when it breaks after they use it two or three times, they're not going to be as enthused anymore. And when you go to the bike shop and find out it costs twice as much to fix it as it costs you to buy it, well, we're all going to lose our enthusiasm here. So now let me add on to that. They're not safe. That's a key word here. They are not safe. You spend all of this money buying a vehicle that you know is safe, so in case you get into an accident, you and your child and everyone else in the car will survive this, and yet you go out and buy a bicycle that could cause death. That's not a good idea. That's really not a good idea. Or injury. We won't get too deep here. But anyway, these are things that we really need to pay attention to. These are not safe bicycles. They're not safe products. Be very, very careful about what you buy. And, you know, I know I'm always pushing and trying to get you into your local bike shop, but, you know, your local bike shop doesn't buy that quality equipment. They can't do it. They can't stand behind it. They can't guarantee it. And quite honestly, they really don't want to test their insurance on it because it could be a problem. So you're going to get a much better product if you go to a specialty retailer. And you'll also get better advice there too, which is really nice. So anyway, I have made it to a point where because I am now podcasting a lot and I am on Facebook and I've got my little Gmail account going here for Bicycle Talk, and I do rant about a few things. I got trolled, Fran. This is like so exciting. I got trolled. Someone wrote to me on Gmail, on my bicycletalknumeral1@gmail.com, and kind of came down on me for last week's show. And one of the things that this person had mentioned, I'm not going to say who it was or where they were from. They were just, you know, they're out there. I have people listen all across the country. It's kind of amazing.
They have opinions, and not everybody's going to agree with us.
Right.
That's cool.
So I went into this thing about the automobile industry and, you know, how they're creating these vehicles, which are basically Band-Aids for safety because they're making them somewhat safe, but they're still running people over on bicycles and pedestrians. And so I threw some stats out there, and the stats that I threw out were from 2015. I figured, well, you know, that's the latest ones I could find. I'm going to repeat these because you really need to hear this. This is really, really important. In 2015, there were 817 cyclists that were hit and killed by a motorized vehicle, a car or a truck, and close to 5,000 pedestrians. Okay, That's a big, big number. We're talking almost 6,000 people that were killed in 1 year right here on U.S. soil here in the U.S. So I ranted and I said, let's look at the terrorist stats on Americans. And I went back and looked at 2015, and it was ridiculously low. So I went, no, let's get some more impressive numbers. So I went all the way back to 9/11 because, you know, 9/11 was a big one. We got hit hard. We got hit really, really hard. And in 9/11, including 9/11, which was 2,910 people that were killed on U.S. soil by terrorists, the additional numbers up through 2014 is what I could find, was 158. So we're talking about a little over 3,000 people that have been killed by terrorists since and including 9/11. And in 2015, over almost 6,000 people. The real terror, and I'll say it again, and this is what got me in a little bit of trouble, is on the streets right here in our country. Now, why is this such a rant for me? Why is this so important to me? I'll tell you why. Because in the year 2015, the Department of Homeland Security was designated a budget their budget request of $38.2 billion, okay, to protect us from the terrorists that are killing us, all right? These are American lives we're talking about. The same year, $11 million shall be set aside for pedestrians and bicycle infrastructure projects, described in the Bicycle and Pedestrian Infrastructure Improvement Act of 2015, unless and until the pilot program established by that act is terminated. So, look at the amount of money we're spending to protect ourselves in the world with this Homeland Security thing, with the, you know, all these TSA agents and all the stuff that's going on. We're talking about building fences, crazy stuff, and all to keep the quote-unquote bad people out. The bad people are here. They're here. They're driving cars. They're driving trucks. They are people driving cars, people driving trucks, running over people that are out walking and or riding their bicycles. And the numbers are staggering compared to what, you know, what we're dealing with on a worldwide level. So anyway, you can rant away at me. You can please definitely, you know, contribute, because that's what I'm looking for. If you want to call us, you can call us right here at 860-486-9487. And you can talk to us on the air, or we can screen your call and we'll answer your questions. But anyway, this is great. Thank you so much for reaching out to me. I do appreciate that. I'm assuming you are listening again because you listened before, and it's a great thing. That's great. So, yeah, I'm gonna beat this drum a lot because I'm very, very concerned about this. We are not spending enough money on infrastructure development in this country to make it safe for pedestrians and for bicycles. And I'm how did that go on network? I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Remember that? The great scene. Anyway, so that's what brings me to our show today. And our show today is on Complete Streets, because Complete Streets is a program that has been developed to bring the safety and concern of pedestrian and bicycle traffic to a much higher level. So there are programs that are out there that are really wonderful. There are resources out there that are wonderful. There's, you can go to, you know, Complete Streets information here. I've got lots of things here. We've got checkbooks and all checklists and all sorts of interesting things. But there's organizations out called People for Bikes, and they're involved in this. But basically, the Complete Streets program that you see throughout the country, there's a great website, and it's called smartgrowthamerica.org. And if you go to smartgrowthamerica.org, you'll see Complete Streets policies nationwide, And they show you their vision, their programs, how to take action and speak out, how to become a member if you want to become a member, how to work with them, and lots and lots and lots of resources. And that's the key right there. There's just tons of resources. So what exactly are Complete Streets? Complete Streets are for everyone. They're designed and operated to enable safe access for all users, including pedestrians, bicyclists, motorists, and transit riders of all ages and abilities. So I'm not just talking about bicycles and pedestrians here. I'm talking about cars and trucks also. And also mass transit, like buses. They're all included in a Complete Streets plan. And they make it better for buses so they can run on time. They make it safe for people to walk to and from train stations. And completing a Complete Streets program means transportation agencies can change their approach to community roads. By adopting a Complete Streets policy, communities direct their transportation planners and engineers to routinely design and operate the entire right-of-way to enable safe access for all users. Now, the really cool thing is I was looking at this. I was checking out some of the layouts that you can see. There's some great graphics out there. And I'm going to give you an example of a Complete Street that has to do with bicycles and pedestrians. So obviously, pedestrians get a sidewalk to walk on. And we're all familiar with that. You see a sidewalk on the side of the road. Very simple, right? It's all there. And next to that sidewalk is a bike lane, okay? So there is a bike lane that is right next to the sidewalk. So the pedestrians and the cyclists are all kind of next to each other. Then there is a small barrier, and I'm talking about a lot. I'm talking about a little curb that barriers you from the traffic out on the street, but not necessarily the traffic on the street. It barriers you as a cyclist from the parked car, the parallel parked car on the street. So what you end up with is you end up with this huge barrier of heavy metal cars and trucks that are blocking anyone that is driving on the street from hitting you, and you're protected by this. Now, you still have to be careful about the occasional car door opening on the passenger side, but if you take a look at, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, so I apologize for that, but if you take a look at the number of people that transport themselves in their cars and trucks just singly without passengers, that number is also staggering, as I remember seeing it a few years ago. Most people just drive themselves and that's it, and they don't have a passenger with them. So it's less of a problem with a car door swinging open on the passenger side than it is with the car door swinging open on the driver's side, which is out in the street itself. So you have this wonderful protective barrier. They've got them on both sides of the street. It doesn't take a lot more space up. It really, we're talking about the width of a bike lane on both sides of the street, possibly making the walking lane just a little bit narrower so you can accommodate the bike lane and then share that, because we're talking about slower travel there. And the safety issue just goes just over the top, because you have this wonderfully well-protected area. So if you're a town planner, if you're an active citizen and you want to go to your town planning agency, or you want to go to a town meeting where they're talking about redoing a road, let's say it's like a main street that has to have its sidewalks redone because the sidewalks are falling apart, go to the meeting, please. Go there. Get active. Voice your concern. Talk to them about it. This is about to happen in the town just south of where we are right now. They're going to be redoing all the sidewalks. And when they did the sidewalks years ago in that town, they dug everything up and then they put down these brick kind of sidewalks, which are slippery. And when we have snow and ice here, and it's just they crumble apart after a while. It would have been better if they were concrete, but you know, I'm not an engineer, so I don't know what the specifics here are. But to me, it would have made more sense to make those sidewalks, instead of making them super wide and planting trees that eventually die and fall down and cause all sorts of problems, but they look pretty at first. Instead of doing all that, just narrow the sidewalk a little bit, put the bike lane in, have the parallel parking on the street so you can still run cars to the businesses that are there. And now you've got a safe zone that pedestrians and cyclists are barriered from the cars. What a great idea. So take a look at it. You can go online. Like I said, smartgrowthamerica.org. You can find a lot of information there. And we're going to explore a little bit more of that today. So a complete street is accessible by everyone. That is the key here. We are not talking about taking cars and trucks off the road. We're talking about figuring out ways that we can work with one another so they can do what they need to do, and those of us who transport ourselves physically can do what we need to do, and we're all safe because of it. When you get to a crossing in the road, there's a thing called curb extensions. I went to a clinic last year, just shy of a year ago. I went to a clinic over at Central Connecticut State University, and it was all about developing, you know, complete streets and what you have to do. And we talked about pedestrians a lot. And they do these things where they'll do curb extensions where the crosswalks are, so that road actually gets a little narrower there, and it makes it much more visual to the driver of the car or the truck to be able to see someone standing in or near a crosswalk, so that when they cross, they're very visible and the driver of the car or the truck is able to see in a good period of time that there's someone in the crosswalk and that they have to stop and let them cross. Which is, that's essential. So there are these things called curb extensions, and they use narrower travel lanes too. We design a lot of our roads too wide, and they are exceptionally wide, and I know people get freaked out by them, especially those that drive larger vehicles, especially those that have gone the truck route, and all that they want to drive is this giant behemoth truck and disguised as a car and called an SUV. But they, if driving that size vehicle and having a hard time in a travel lane because it seems like there's not enough room for you is a problem, then maybe you should consider a smaller vehicle. Maybe that would be a better idea. Maybe you should consider your bike. Your bike's great. It'll get you around. It'll get you where you need to go. Oh, you can't go grocery shopping with your bike? Well, I can throw that one out too. Buy a trailer, put it behind your bike. You can put 12 bags of groceries in a Burley bicycle trailer. Big shout out to Burley for that sort of thing. There are plenty of things you can do to become more independent of a motorized vehicle, fossil fuel burning vehicle. You do not need to go there. So, if the large vehicle is becoming a problem for you, then maybe get a smaller vehicle next time. Or maybe think about, selling that vehicle and getting a smaller vehicle because it's easier to maneuver. It's easier to park. It's just a little easier to get around in. Plus, of course, it doesn't burn as much fuel usually. So that's a good thing. So we're talking about this being good for everyone. So you narrow the streets. This is a big problem. The streets are too wide. Many of them are very, very wide. And in some ways, that's a good thing, because when I talk to people about, I'm out on my bicycle and they say, well, you see these people on their bikes and I'm supposed to give them 3 feet. And I just, it's really difficult for me to do this. And how do I know if I'm far enough out? Well, I have often told people, if you take your driver's side wheel and put it on the yellow line, I've got my 3 feet. That's all there is to it. Very simple. I have my 3 feet. No problem. So just line up your outside wheel, your driver's side wheel, with the yellow line, and I've got plenty of room because there's more than enough room. Now, if I had a separate lane when I was going through a busy trafficked area, and I didn't have to worry about that, then you would have plenty of room to get around everything. So the roads are definitely very wide. As we widen roads, we make roads more dangerous. There are a number of different different things out there, resources out there that talk about Deadly by Design was one that I had pulled up, Dangerous by Design, a report that was put out in 2016. And I know when I was working with the Connecticut Bicycle Coalition years ago, our director actually wrote a big piece and many pages, and it was called Deadly by Design, and it was submitted to the Department of Transportation here in the state of Connecticut, and it pointed out all these crazy things that we're designing into our network of roads to make the traffic flow faster, which, by the way, does not work. And it was, but what it did do is it made it more and more dangerous for pedestrians and for cyclists to be out on the road. So, you know, we got to take a look at this. This is very important stuff. We want to make things safer for everyone. Well, let's start here. Let's start here. So, get political. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get ourselves out to the town meetings, to the planning meetings. Go and see your engineering office in town, your town planner, and say, you know, I really like riding my bike, and I really like riding my bike through the town. I like to ride my bike to the cafe. I like to ride my bike to the grocery store. And I'm not feeling like you're paying a lot of attention to me as a cyclist or as a pedestrian. So what can we do to make things better? We have a wonderful organization here in Mansfield. I'll talk about that in a little while. I've had them on the air here before. They have an event coming up tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But, you know, you want to make your town a bike-friendly town. If you want to know how to do that, you can go to the League of American Bicyclists. Go to the League of, I'm not sure exactly the website, I don't have it in front of me, but go to the League of American Bicyclists and see what it takes to make your town a bike-friendly town. It is a process. It is a process of doing a lot of different things, bringing awareness to your community, having clinics and workshops, of which there will be one here in town this evening at 7 p.m. at the Transportation Center in Store Center. Again, I will revisit that. You have to do things like, you know, bicycle rodeos, teaching kids how to ride their bikes safely around cones and be safe on their bikes. Things where you're marking the roads with sharrows and putting up share the road signs and letting people know that it's a good thing to see bicycles on the road with you. And the more you put this out there, the more bike-friendly your town becomes and the safer your town becomes. Everyone wants to live in a safe town. That's obvious. We're marketed that all the time. So take a look at all of these things that you can do. Now, I have this there also, by the way, you can download all of these brochures. I have these reports. I have a report in front of me right now called Dangerous by Design, and it's a 44-page report. So I can't obviously cover all of this today, but it's something that I would encourage you to take a look at and see what it is that you can do, because you can go now armed with lots of information when you go to your town meetings or your town planner, and you can speak with them from an intelligent way because you've done the research. And, you know, there's a chapter in here, the most dangerous places to walk in the United States. Scary stuff. And if you change your metro areas, you can make things so much safer. So very, very important. Most vulnerable populations, I'm just giving you an overview here, people of color. Isn't that terrible? So any place where we have minorities, the streets are even more dangerous. Other people that are vulnerable, older adults. And of course, we have a personal thing on that one right now, but it's definitely there. You know, breakdowns by age, race, and ethnicity, income and income-related indicators. All these things add up to places that are the most vulnerable populations that we have in our societies. And when you think about that and you look at, well, let's look at one of them here, income and income-related indicators. So if you take a look at that, why is that a factor? Well, that is a factor because people who don't have as much money are going to be less inclined to own a motorized vehicle and more inclined to use a bicycle or their feet to get where they need to get to. So they really need this infrastructure build. So this is definitely a good thing to look at. There's a whole section here in this Dangerous by Design about making streets safer by design. There's recommendations, and there's just lots of great information in here. Like I said, it's a 44-page report. There's a lot going on here. And it shows also shows the places that have done this and the statistics that go along with it and how much better it is in their communities now that they've done this. You know, the more you get people out of their motorized vehicles and the more you get them out walking and on the streets, the kinder and gentler our society becomes. This is a statement. This is something that is really, really important. When I'm out riding my bicycle, even if I'm out on a quiet country road and I see someone out working in their yard or going out to their mailbox, because we live in a very rural area, I always say hi. I'm always very friendly and open with them. Why? Because we're all just people. We share this earth together. So let's be nice to one another, and let's get that whole communication thing across with one another, because someday that person who went out to their mailbox that was greeted by a person on a bicycle, and that person on the bicycle was really friendly to them, when they get in their motorized vehicle, they're going to go, "That's that person that was really nice to me." You know, they're not going to see you as the enemy any longer. You've got to be friendly. You've got to get out there. Don't be a bike snob, whatever you do. I'll rant on that one another week, because I just hate bike snobs. They drive me nuts. And they're out there, and you know who they are, and you know who you are if you are one. So stop that behavior. That's very, very bad behavior. So anyway, check out this brochure. It's great, Dangerous by Design. It's actually a booklet. You can download it from the internet. It's a PDF in a PDF form. It's very nice. Give you lots of good information. I pulled another one down this morning when I was looking through this because I wanted to look and see what other avenues were available here. There's one about front. This is all put through by Smart Growth America, and this was called Rebuilding Downtown. It's a 35-page report, and it shows how you can, by just making your roads friendlier, by getting more people out riding their bicycles, more people out being pedestrians and out with one another, how your whole community just gets friendlier and it grows and your commerce grows because of it. This is all connected. Everything is connected. You have to understand that. You want to engage and understand your community members. You want to make a list of specific goals then, and make a plan when you go to, let's say, your local town meeting. The thing that I have discovered over the years of being very active in my communities that I have lived in is that you never, ever go to a situation with just a complaint about the problem. You always go with a possible solution, or maybe a couple of possible solutions. But if you go there saying, you know, you guys are doing this and you need to fix it, you're not going to get anywhere near the attention you're going to get if you go there and say, I have identified a problem, and I think this is something we might want to take a look at, and I have a couple of ideas that would help us explore this a little further. And yeah, you may end up on a committee. You know, you might end up having to go to a couple of meetings. But great. Do the work. Do the work. Make life better for all of us. That is the way we all work together as a good community. So going to a meeting or a gathering, where a town gathering, whatever it may be, community gathering, where there is going to be discussion. If you have a problem with something, if you have a complaint, don't go there with the idea that you're only going to voice your complaint. Go there with a solution. Solutions solve problems, not complaints. So you gotta take this from a much more positive standpoint and go there. You want to create attractive and walkable places. You want to make it so that people like being out walking. You want them to enjoy it, enjoy being out in nature. This is, you know, there's so many connections with this. There's a health and fitness connection with this, which is just beyond compare. We have so many people in this country that are just not getting out. They're not moving. They're stuck inside their homes. They're not stuck. They just won't leave them. They have giant media machines in their house, which keep them there, and they don't want to leave. Now they have virtual reality pieces they can put on their heads, and they can never leave the house, but they can go tour somewhere. They can go to Paris and walk around Paris, and they're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything. We got it all backwards, folks. You need to get out. You need to move. This is really, really important. So you create attractive, walkable places. You create places that are safe for you and your family to ride your bike. You can't do it by just sitting still. You got to get out and get active. So anyway, this is a great one. Rebuilding downtown. It shows all the different things you do about rebuilding downtown. I was in downtown Willimantic, local town below us, earlier this week, and I stopped by a small coffee shop, which is there, which is really cool. A couple of young guys own it, and they're very enthusiastic. And of course, I went in with my enthusiasm about bicycles and about, you know, what I'd love to see in their town, because I had a business there for 15 years. I get it. I understand how it all works. And their big concern, and this is really interesting, their big concern, they're in Willimantic. They're close to Eastern Connecticut State University. They have a lot of college business. They got the little cafe thing going on. So, you know, they've got a lot of interest there. They're scared to death about summer because summer gets slow and they don't know what to do about it. And I said, it's because you're not selling to the right customer. I went, you need to make friends with the bicycle community. And I had this long talk with them, an enthusiastic talk with them about getting bicycle friendly. All right, get out there, get bicycle friendly, make your business known as a bicycle friendly business. What is required to be a bicycle friendly business? Okay, first of all, you need to allow the cyclist to stop by and use your bathroom. This is a key one, right, Fran? You know this one. You definitely know this. So if you don't make your bathroom public friendly, then you're not going to be bicycle friendly. Because, yeah, we need to use the bathroom occasionally. And when we stop to use the bathroom, we're doing it for two reasons. Number one, we have to go. And we drink a lot of water and we hydrate all the time on our bikes. And eventually we get to a point where, you know, oh boy, I gotta pull over and find something to, you know, I gotta find a bathroom. So when you get there, you're going to walk in, you're going to use the bathroom, you're going to look around, you go, hey, you know what, I'm going to grab a cup of coffee while I'm here. Oh, look, they have those muffins over there. Those look great. Oh, you know what, maybe I'll just sit and have lunch. I'll grab a sandwich and do that. When you become a bicycle-friendly business, it becomes known that you are the establishment that likes bikes and you like bikes a lot, your business will increase and your business will become much more stable, even in a time when maybe it's not normally stable. Let's say you have something that's more of a winter time, like a cafe could be considered somewhat of a winter time type business. And then summertime things get slow because people go away on vacation, and maybe you're in a university situation where, you know, 20,000 people leave your area and now you're scratching your head and trying to figure out how you're going to stay in business for the next couple of months. Become bicycle friendly. People come from all around. It's not just your local people that will come and visit you. People will come from other areas and they will visit you. I know of a group that is up in Southbridge, Massachusetts, and they come down to our area all the time. And it's a good 25 miles away from them. But, you know, they have range. They can ride 50 miles. And when they do, they bring a really big crowd. The last time they came into Willimantic, they came down the rail trail into Willimantic. They brought 22 people down to a local cafe and all sat and had lunch. You think there's not money there? There's a lot of money there. So become a bicycle-friendly business. You want to make your whole downtown area into a very popular place. What would happen if you turned your downtown, which maybe is a little marginal, maybe it's an older town and businesses are, you know, things are starting to crumble a little bit. What would happen if you had access to it from the roads that come into you, and then you made it into a bicycle-friendly themed town, you would never have a problem with summer ever again. Summer would be a big time for you. You draw a lot of people in. This is how tourism works. This is it. I mean, I go down to a tourism town like, let's say, Mystic or Stonington or any of these places that are even Old Saybrook. They're all on the water. They're down on our Connecticut shore. And these places are packed in the summertime with tourists. And you can bring these people to your community, too. If you build it, they will come. Isn't that how that goes? So look at it. Look at it from a perspective of we're not doing this just to be nice to and safe for our alternative transportational customers here or people, but we're also doing it as a way to build our economy in our area. This is a really good thing. So pay attention to that. And you want to build in some equity here. You want to incorporate affordable housing strategies within your downtown areas. You want to, you know, help your current residents stay in their neighborhoods, create homes in a variety of sizes and price points. All these things are in this guide. There's a lot of vision here. And I'm starting to see it more and more as you look at older cities that are starting to build up. If you do any research whatsoever on what's going on in Detroit right now, Detroit was now an absolute wasteland. Lots of problems. It's the Rust Belt. It's where the automobile industry was and is not there that much any longer. And Detroit crumbled. It just really, really crumbled. But now it's starting to build up. There's neighborhoods that are coming back. People are putting energy into it. The millennials, shout out to the millennials, are moving there because it's inexpensive. And they can actually see a future there. So you look at this and you start building into these communities and build in bicycles, build in pedestrians. They're very, very important to your economy. You need to look at this because it's really the right way to go. So there's just so much information that is available on this site. I would highly recommend, and the site I'm talking about once again is smartgrowthamerica.org. There's huge resource guides. There are examples of what some other communities have done and how well they've done with it and what it has done for them. Making safer streets makes stronger communities. That's the key. So you really want to take a look at complete streets here. We want to make it so everyone is happy and that you get your complete streets program in your community going in the right direction. It's extremely, extremely important. You can also go to our local Connecticut Bike Walk Connecticut website, and that is www.bikewalkct.org. And if you click on their complete streets program, you will see that they're putting a lot more energy into this. Obviously, they're trying to build. This is what this group does. They are actually linked with the state of New Jersey DOT, and there's a complete streets checklist there. So it gives you all different categories and resources for complete streets, including bicycling and bike ped plans. So you can see all the different policies that are there, the health and benefit policies, the environment, highways, planning, all these things are there. And there's just an unbelievable number of resources that you will find. So please visit my friends at bikewalkconnecticut.org. They're wonderful. They've got, they're doing really, really good things for advocacy in our state. They're doing really good things for awareness. They have events. They're definitely heading our bicycle culture and our pedestrian culture in the right direction, and they're doing everything they can for us. I go into Hartford now, and I look at Farmington Avenue. Okay, busy road, really busy road. It's one of the main exits going out to the west out of downtown Hartford. And I'm starting to see things like, you know, Sharrows in the road. I'm starting to see the big green box outs at the major intersections so that you can safely make a left-hand turn. and still be in the traffic flow at the same time. There's just things going on in these towns that are great. I have been in conversation with a friend of mine who is in New Haven, Matthew Feiner, and he is, I call him the mayor of New Haven because he knows everyone, everyone knows him, but he's really the mayor of cycling in New Haven, as well as art and other things that Matthew's very involved in. And we are going to have him on the show eventually. We've been going back and forth with this. We just haven't pinned it down yet, but I will have Matthew here, and he can tell you what's going on in New Haven. New Haven is very, very progressive. They're paying attention. And why are they paying attention? Because people like Matthew are getting out there. And others are getting out there, and they're pushing the agenda. You know, you don't get this if you're quiet. You don't get this if you just wait for it to happen. You have to dive into it head first. Find your legislators. Figure out who it is that is politically important in your area. Identify them. Address them. Call them. Call their office. Leave messages. Send emails. Make sure they know you're there. The more they hear of you, the more they need to pay attention to you. I have talked to our local representative here, and he said that phone calls and emails are such an important part of what he does. He really, you know, because I tell poor Greg, I tell him, you know, I hate to bother you with this, but he said, bother me. Please bother me. Bother me as much as you want. Tell all your friends to bother me. He goes, this is how we get things done. The more we hear from you, the more ammunition we have when we go in to propose a bill, to write a bill, to do whatever we need to do to get something to go through. We need to hear from you. So don't be afraid. Don't be timid about this. If you want something, you really need to have it, and Complete Streets is on the top of your list, great. Go for it. Find your legislator. Talk to them. Bother them. They have interns, though, you can bother them too, but they'll definitely get the word across. There's no question about it. If you don't make mention, then it's definitely a problem. If you go here onto the site too, Bike Walk Connecticut has, as of March 1st, 2016, support for the HB 5403, an act increasing penalties for failure to yield to pedestrians in crosswalks and failure to exercise due care to avoid hitting a pedestrian or cyclist. This is the kind of thing that is getting pushed through. Really, really important. We're trying to get this recognized because the murder by automobile to bicycle and pedestrian problem is a nationwide problem. I gave you the numbers from earlier in the show. I showed you what 1 year's worth of cars and trucks and cyclists and pedestrians, how many fatalities there are in relation to that versus terrorist attacks throughout the world on Americans. We're losing Americans here on this soil right here, and we're losing them because we do not have good infrastructure, and we need to change that. So be loud, be proud, get out there and do it. You've got to let people know. You know, there's a great Connecticut cyclist and pedestrian crash data, 2006 through 2012. It's on a page right here that they have for this bill. In 2006, there were 43 bike ped fatalities in 2006. And that's a lot of people. Five of them were cyclists, 38 were pedestrians. People, are you watching when you're driving your cars? Are you paying attention at all? How do you hit someone who's walking across the street? It's, you know, you got to open your eyes here. You really, really have to start paying a lot more attention. In injuries alone in 2006, there were 1,687 injuries. Cyclist injuries, 579. Pedestrian injuries were 1,108. So, you know, these are big, big numbers. We go down here to 2012 because this chart only goes up to 2012. Number of bicycle ped fatalities in 2012, 49. This is the state of Connecticut. We're a state of 3.5 million people. We're not a big state. We're like a county in California. So, or sometimes a city in California. But anyway, we're not a really, really big place. Our bicycle fatalities actually went down from 2006 to 4 versus 5. Our pedestrian fatalities went up to 45 from 38. The totals obviously are a little bit higher because of that. So these are things we need to pay attention to. You know, Connecticut needs to share the road campaign for drivers, pedestrians, and cyclists. But I really think the key point here is we need to let drivers of cars and trucks know what the rules are on the road. And please, please, please do not be distracted while driving your vehicle. And I know it's hard because your vehicle is being designed to distract you now. And now they're trying to design vehicles to have emergency devices within them to wake you up when you're not paying attention. I mean, why don't you just pay attention? Why don't you just drive your car? Because when you're the driver of a vehicle, that is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be looking straight ahead, looking at conditions in front of you. You're looking to the left. You're looking to the right. You're paying attention. And, you know, I think I said this last week. I'll say it again. I remember my dad yelling at me when he was teaching me how to drive because I looked down at the radio. And he yelled at me. He said, "Don't do that." He said, "You put your hands back on the wheel. You pay attention to where you're going. That's it." He said, "If you want to adjust the radio, you wait until you're at a stop sign." So, you know, not bad advice. You know, dads are good for that. So anyway, these are things that are all mentioned here in this Bike Walk Connecticut support for HB 5403. We need to see, you take a look at a state like Minnesota has the lowest rate of pedestrian fatalities. And it requires drivers to stop for pedestrians in any portion of the roadway, not even in crosswalks, anywhere. So if you're crossing the road and you're in Minnesota and you don't even need to be in a crosswalk, you cross, the car is required, car or truck is required to stop for you and let you get through. Massachusetts mandates yielding when a pedestrian is upon the same half of the roadway or within 10 feet of the motorist. Vermont includes driver harassment of cyclists and pedestrians as punishment violation of its vulnerable use law. Maine law expressly provides that a crash is evidence of a violation of its 3-foot safe passing law. New York's right-of-way law makes it a misdemeanor crime when a driver fails to yield and kills or injures a person walking in the crosswalk with the right-of-way. Stop. Back up. A misdemeanor crime for killing someone? What's wrong with these laws? Let's take a look at this. It's all wrong. We're missing out here. We're missing the point. I hate to be the cranky old guy, but I'm being the cranky old guy here. We're way in the past here on this. We need to really focus on getting our legislators involved with this. We need to get everyone active in our communities involved in this. Get out. Do things, say things, make sure that everyone hears you, and don't go there just complaining. As I said before, go there with a solution. There's a lot of resource online for solutions. You'll find it there. Anywhere you look, you're going to see plenty of this. So this is important, and you need to pay attention to it. Get active. You know, be an advocate for cycling. Be an advocate for pedestrian transportation. Be an advocate for transportation in general. It's a good thing. It'll help you. It'll help everyone around you. It'll help your children. It'll help their children. So think about this as a future investment. It's definitely the way to go. So, you know, advocacy work is so incredibly important. Education is so incredibly important. You know, if I were king, which, you know, I always say that, if I were king, I would be putting bicycle education into the hands of every child in every grade as they go through school. They've got 12 years of going through the public school system. They would have it hammered into them 12 years in a row how to work with being part of transportation. We allow you to drive a car when what? When you turn 16 years of age and you get a driver's license and you take a test and you go out and you have to go through driver's education to do this. And you're then, if you pass the test, then you're allowed to have a driver's license and you have this wonderful privilege of driving a motorized vehicle. You hop on a bike and you ride anytime you want. There's no education involved. There's no, there's a real lack of education with youth in our country. I'm not just going to point at my own state for this. This is nationwide. We are just not paying attention there from a very high level. Why aren't kids put through a bicycle education program every single year in school? Think about this. Introduce it to your community. Go to your Department of Education in town and talk to them about it. So, you know, these are ideas that you really need to start pressing forward on. And, you know, get involved. I'm really asking everyone to please, please get involved. Volunteer. Do what you need to do. Contact your local legislators. Contact people. Get loud. Get active. But do it right. Do it with solutions, not with problems. Identify the problems and then go after the solutions. And present the solutions. Extremely, extremely important. Along with that, we have here Bike Mansfield, which is our local community group, and they are working right now with the League of American Bicyclists to become an accredited bicycle friendly town. And there are a number of them across the state. I think the highest ranking one is actually Avon. It might be Avon or Simsbury because they have that big bike path over there. So they've got a lot of activity on that. And they are also doing a lot of really positive things for cycling and for pedestrian transportation over there too. They're very, very active. But we want to be up on that list too. So we're doing a lot here. And you can see a lot more signage in town now. All the sharrows have been refreshed on the roads. You notice they're like freshly painted. By the way, that's just paint, folks. Doesn't cost a lot. Doesn't cost your town a lot of money. It's just merely putting down a stencil and painting some paint on the road and letting people know that bikes belong here too. So these are really good things. But here's a reminder for you. Tonight at 7 p.m. in the Transportation Center in downtown Storrs, Bike Mansfield will be sponsoring a workshop, which is called Creating a Bicycle-Friendly Community. So everything I've been talking to is segueing right into this. And there's going to be a brief presentation on the draft of the Pedestrian Bicycle Master Plan that has been written and has been presented to the town staff for their review and for additions and edits. And the Bicycle-Friendly Community application for Mansfield that we're going to be submitting to the League of American Bicyclists. We're going to have that there for review. And Lon Holkren, one of the founders of Bike Mansfield, former town manager in Mansfield and avid cyclist, he's going to make those first two presentations. And yours truly, Pedlin Ron Meniza, will make the third presentation. And the third presentation will be a presentation on how to use some of the internet applications that are out there, like Map My Ride and Ride with GPS, and learn how to use those so you can map out your routes and find nice little safe routes that you can ride your bikes on around town. So again, that is tonight at 7 p.m. at the Transportation Center in town, downtown Storrs. You can go to bikemansfield.org and you can look it up there. Hopefully it'll be on the website. I mean, I didn't really check that. But you wanna stop by and see us, and I'll be there. You get to meet Pedal and Ron from Bicycle Talk. That's kind of a fun thing, too, maybe. We'll see. If you have a rant, bring it with you. I'd love to hear them. Anyway, my name is Pedal and Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. Remember, you can always call us when we're on the air at 860-486-9487. You can also text that number, or you can send me an email at any time at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or visit Bicycle Talk on Facebook. And remember, you can also hear the podcast of this show and others on whus.org or on iTunes. This is Pedlin Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut.